Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure. Rich Gannon is our guest. He's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is a political operative of the Republican persuasion, in the interest of full disclosure. And even to a greater degree, in the interest of full disclosure, he is of the Republican Thompson campaign. Presidential campaign persuasion. He's a paid consultant and advisor to candidate Thompson, but we're going to talk about other things for a little while before we get into politics. Rich Gannon, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir. Nice to be with you.
It's good to have you here as always. Here we are, Rich, 6 years and to the day after the attacks of 9/11. I was telling the audience earlier that the first attack, the North Tower, as I remember, was hit about 10-15 minutes before I went off the air on that day. I was broadcasting that day, and I got in my car and was going to run an errand right after the attack, and the first one. But I didn't know it was what had gone on. And on my music radio station that I was listening to when I cranked my car up, they broke into a record and said that a plane had just flown into the World Trade Center, and I thought, well, you know, planes fly into buildings up there. A baseball player flew into one a couple of years ago, you know, so that happens. But I said, if they broke into a song on a music station to say a plane had flown into a tower, that must be something else, something bigger. And so I turned my car off, came inside, turned on the television, sat down, and had barely sat down at all until the camera caught the second plane banking hard into the South Tower. Mm. And I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Everybody, I think, has a similar, if not identical, story. Back in those days, I worked out of my den, and I was, as usual, watching an old movie, which I did in the morning while I was trying to get everything else done.
That's research, right?
And my wife called and said, are you watching TV? And I said, no. She said, the same thing, a plane has flown into one of the World Trade Center towers, so I turned it on. A lot of folks thought the same thing when somebody called. Well, a plane flew into the tower. Some pilot got caught in a draft and just got shoved into it. And then watching that second one fly in, and then watching the towers collapse. I mean, and here in Washington, where I am, then the rumors started, and once again, the press corps they've never been chastised for this, but they should be. I mean, we had reports of a bomb going off in front of the State Department. We had reports of all kinds of things going on. And in fact, my house is right along the Potomac River, and literally, at one point, there was a report of a plane coming up the Potomac toward Washington from southern Virginia at high speed. So I went out, I went out to watch to see if I could find it. But that was false, too. So, I mean, I think to as horrible as it was, when the plane hit the Pentagon, I could see the smoke from the Pentagon fire.
I was going to say you probably only live 4 or 5 miles from there,
exactly.
Don't you?
But it was, and you know, the thing that sort of is really unfortunate. I mean, putting aside the obvious human loss, the everything else, but everybody in Washington, maybe New York, maybe everywhere, but I know certainly Washington, New York, that when you have a day that was a clear, crystal, beautiful blue sky that you just don't get very often. You know, in big eastern cities anymore, and every time we have a sky like that, that thought goes through my mind. That was the sky. That's just the way the sky looked at 9/11.
And of course that sky was scarred, and America was scarred forever. Sure. What do you think about, Rich? How do you think? You know, we could go back and talk about how did this happen? How did we let it happen? Who were the people who let it happen? And I have my ideas on that, and of course I think I'm right. But rather than go back and say and find, you know, where the blame was, You know, I think it's important that we focus forward and that we talk about what's happened since then. Obviously, we have not been attacked since then. I think we should stand up and give a standing ovation to those wonderful people, those smart people, those hardworking, diligent people, and many levels of our government and other organizations who have basically, I think, protected us from another attack. I don't think it was without intention by Al Qaeda. I think it was just some good people on the ground.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. And because of the changes that have taken place, people kind of whine and moan when they have to go through the airport security foolishness and everything else. But the fact is that 9/11 would not have happened today, not just because the people on airplanes would never allow their airplane
right.
to be taken over again. That would never happen.
That's right.
Just wouldn't happen. But, I mean, and again, you can disagree with parts of it, but everything from the Patriot Act to the ability of law enforcement and...
Rich, hold on. I'm sorry. Hold on to that thought. We've got to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with Rich Gaylor. More to come. 2012. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, small business advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Rich Gaylor. He is the publisher and the writer and the editor and the accountant over at Mullings.com, an outstanding... Is it back to thrice weekly now, Rich?
Yes, only for August is it twice a week.
Thrice weekly, and that's if you subscribe at Mullings.com to Rich's outstanding cyber column and his blog, by the way, you can get to there from the link there as well.
Mullings.com. I don't want to give a pitch for this, but the thing about it doesn't matter to me if you're a Republican or Democrat or whether you're a Giuliani or Romney supporter or whatever, but. But it is very interesting to be. The Thompson campaign did its announcement tour. We're still in it. We're taking 2 days off, but we're going back out Wednesday night. But being on one of these tours with the press corps in tow and the jostling and all the stuff that go into it, it's really pretty exciting to sort of be able to, be backstage and peek behind the curtain. I've never been at this level at a presidential campaign. Of all the campaigns I've worked in, I've usually been consigned to the communications shop.
Yep.
But it's really a fascinating thing. I'm trying to write some of that on the blog, and just to kind of give people a sense of what goes on. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat.
Yeah,
it's just the process.
Exactly. This is kind of access, folks, that you can get. And I encourage you to subscribe to Rich's column. But Rich, before we get back, I want to talk about that in a minute. But before we go there, I want to finish up on our thought on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
The Patriot Act, folks, fixed one of the main things it did. It fixed a horribly broken system that it put up a wall between the FBI and the CIA, basically, that prevented them from communicating. Probably might have prevented 9/11 from happening had that wall not existed and been strengthened in the 90s. That wall was taken down with the Patriot Act. Rich, we cannot be safe. Without the Patriot Act, can we?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, the way the law was structured prior to 9/11 was a throwback, and to the excesses, and I don't think there's any question about that, to the excesses of the FBI and others during the 60s, when they were using federal investigatory and intelligence services to try to block the actions of anti-war people and people like Martin Luther King and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a reaction to that, but we've all talked about this forever. It's the law of unintended consequences we didn't understand at the time, that by the civil liberties that were being protected were actually laying us bare to the kinds of attacks that happened and would still be happening, by the way. I mean, when you go back and think of just the plots that we've been that have been foiled that we know about, the JFK bombings, the attack, a potential attack, the Fort Dix potential attack, just last week the attack in Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany. I mean, all these things would have happened had the Patriot Act not been in place.
Mm-hmm.
And had other countries not been cooperating with us, like they were not before. They really felt that we were being overreactive to this. But
do you believe
the Madrid bombings, and they realize this happens anywhere.
Do you believe that we're winning the war on terror globally?
I think we are at least holding our own in the war on terror. I mean, clearly, if the terrorists were winning, we'd be living in underground bunkers and nobody would get on public transportation. So to that degree, we clearly are. But you and I have talked about this now for 6 years. Not all 6 years. But you know, we confuse the current battlefront with the war, whether the battlefront was Afghanistan or now Iraq. There is a global war. I mean, the guys in Germany weren't in Iraq. They were in Germany, and there were sleeper cells there. And anybody who doesn't think there's sleeper cells in the U.S. you know, is dreaming that maybe their last dream. So to the degree that we have been able to ferret these guys out and really keep massive attacks like 9/11 and the Madrid subway bombings, I'm trying to remember if there actually has been one since then. But so I guess to that degree we are. But it's
we had the one in England and then some more significant attempts, but those were failed.
One in England as well. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, but the fact that we can kind of count three or four, if we're missing one. Instead of trying to remember the worst of the dozen or 15, I think tells us a lot about how hard our defenders are working and how.
But aren't you heartened, Rich, by how the other countries around the world are taking up the arms and are cooperating? The Danish government, the German government recently. Aren't you heartened by the way they and isn't could, mustn't that be disheartening to Al Qaeda?
Well, it has to be. I think after 9/11, there was probably some, you know, whatever the terrorist equivalent of high fiving is, going on, thinking that they had the formula worked out. But the reaction was so swift and so remarkable worldwide, as you say. And even the disagreements over the conduct of the aftermath of the invasion of Iraq and the what's happened since amongst our allies. They see that as, I mean, unlike some of my friends, you know, on Capitol Hill, our allies see that as a part of a global war on terror, not a global war on terror, and they understand that they're just as vulnerable as we are, and if we don't cooperate, this horrible things are going to happen.
Do you believe that Iraq is ground is the front line of our global war on terror?
Sure, but when we, you know, whatever happens there. The front line will be wherever we, the United States, are. We are the global brass ring to terrorists. If they can bring us to our knees, then they will have won, because nobody else has the capacity or the will to keep this fight going as long as we do.
Well said. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, that's Mullings.com. That's his website. When we come back, I'm going to let him pull the curtain back and give us a little peek. Behind the operation of a national presidential political campaign. Pretty cool access.
Well, I was born in a small town, and I lived in a small town.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Rich Galen, who has promised me he doesn't know anything about any kind of toe-tapping, rules in bathrooms. And like me, keeps his feet firmly on the ground and never takes a wide stance. Right, Rich?
I didn't even know that phrase.
I've never heard of that before.
Larry Craig since he was a member of Congress. I'm just devastated for the guy. But, boy, you can't be any dumber than that whole situation and the way, not only what he did, but how he handled it afterwards. I think my wife didn't realize we were doing this.
It's all right.
The business about knowing about the toe tap, you know, the moving of your and reaching your hand. I mean, it's the notion that you know that is kind of, you know, an indictment in itself.
I know. I told my wife, I promised my wife, I said, look, I never take a wide stance. I'm very narrowly stanced when I go into, and even more so now. Hey, Rich, let's pull the curtain back for us a little bit more and let's peek behind that now. The curtain of a big time campaign. Former Senator Thompson, who is now your new boss, right?
Yeah, it's great and it's fun to do it. I mean, I, My son Reed was the deputy campaign manager for McCain from January through until July.
Was he one of the guys who got sacked?
The big shakeup there. He went back to California, and then it was sort of at the same time that was going on. The Thompson campaign called and said that they wondered if they could kind of talk to me. So I tell people that I had to wait until Reed was gone from McCain before I could take this job, because there's a Federal Election Commission regulation against two Galens working in the same presidential and people go, really? No, there's no.
well, what
happened, I mean, on this particular thing, we started out on Jay Leno, which was pretty interesting in and of itself. I've never been to the Tonight Show.
But you also pulled off the not only was he on Jay Leno, but the first 8 minutes of the debate was about him. I mean, talk about the hat trick.
That's exactly right. I said we did one show and we were the star of two. I think that's pretty good. But you know, he's a potent force, and you know, now it's up to us to actually prove that we can.
Why is he a potent force? Tell us why we should even consider him.
I think there is the celebrity piece of this. I mean, I think it's foolish to try to avoid it. But you know, every candidate has to use the tools they have available. I mean, if Rudy Giuliani had not been the mayor of New York on 9/11, but had been the mayor of Chicago, I'm not sure he would be running for president.
I agree.
Same thing with Romney's got things, Hillary Clinton's got, you know, Bill Clinton. So everybody has the tools.
Everybody has a platform from which they came.
But I mean, the advantage of Thompson is that, as he says, this is his line, not mine. And he is the same guy. I mean, if you're sitting at his house in the living room having a discussion, or sitting on the campaign bus as we've been for the last 4 or 5 days, or you see him on Law and Order, he's the same guy. I mean, he kind of poses these complex. He lays out the complex issues in front of us, and he asks for advice, and then he says, "This is what I think we ought to do." And I said that to him, and I said, "You're the same guy." And he said, "Well, I never took acting lessons, so I can only play myself." But I mean, the broader question. I mean, he's carrying the mantle both of being an honest kind of Goldwater conservative, not a neocon, you know, kind of.
But what are his credentials for that?
His run for the Senate in 1994. You know, he came out. Well, he's a true American, great American story. I mean, he's not unlike Clinton. I mean, he started from nothing. Got his girlfriend pregnant in high school. Married her at 17. you know, kind of worked 19 jobs and everything, went to college for a while, thought that was, you know, a waste of his time because he was going to get a job, and he was convinced to go back. And, you know, as he said, he borrowed and worked his way through college and got a scholarship to Vanderbilt Law School. So, and he said, you know, I've been at the lowest end of the of the income tax code and the highest end of the income tax code. I've seen this country from both sides. And you know, it's in a place like America where a guy like Fred Thompson, or, again, like Bill Clinton, can actually get to where they want to go by sheer perseverance and talent and intellect.
Well, it's interesting. He's moved up in the polls, no question about it, and we'll see how this goes. Hey, Rich, give us the website one more time.
www.mullings, M as in Mary, ullings.com.
And, Rich, on this anniversary of 9/11, I know you join me in saying, God bless America, God bless our men and women in uniform around the world.
There I do.
Yeah. Thank you, Rich. See you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.